Pacific reactions to Taiwan's election, Maori backlash in New Zealand, and more domestic updates from the region. Today is Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, and welcome back to Pacific Airwaves, a podcast on the Pacific Islands from the Southeast Asia Program and the Asia Maritime Transparency Initiative at CSIS. I'm Monica Sato with my co-host Andreka Nathalegawa. Andreka, Happy New Year! How was your vacation?
It was good. Went up to see family up in the Northeast.
Nice. I spent mine in New Jersey and it was very cold.
Yes. I can imagine.
Are you the type to make New Year's resolutions at all?
Not really. But this year I'm trying something different. So I've resolved to grow in age and wisdom.
Oh, wow. That's very profound, Andreka. And I don't think you'll have trouble doing that this
Thank
year.
You. What about you, Monica?
Well, I resolved to travel more this year, which is perfect because next month I'm actually traveling to roll out AMTI's newest digital report that we released at the end of last year. So I'll be starting with Australia and going to Thailand and the Philippines after.
That's exciting. Looking forward to hearing more about your travel and looking forward to reading the report on the CSIS website.
Yeah, it'll be fun. In more relevant news, I will also be going to Taiwan, and I think that's a good segue to get into the meat of this episode. Let's start with the Taiwan election in the context of the Pacific Islands. As many of our listeners may already know, Taiwan held its general election on January 13th, with the ruling Democratic People's Party, or DPP, winning the presidency for the third time in a row. William Lai Ching-te, the country's current vice president, is now president-elect, winning 40% of the vote.
Most analysts believe that the Taiwan election is a litmus test for the state of democracy in the region. CSIS's very own Victor Cha said that the election itself stands as a testament to one of the most vibrant democracies in the region.
While China's reaction has been relatively restrained thus far, Beijing is evidently not too happy about the result because it sees Lai as a supporter of Taiwanese independence.
And much like in the rest of the world, the election result has produced polarized responses in the Pacific. Just 2 days after the results were announced, the recently elected president of Nauru, David Adeyang, declared that the nation would adopt the One China principle and officially close its embassy in Taiwan, to which Taiwan responded by closing its embassy in Nauru.
The announcement surprised many, including Nauru's ambassador to Taiwan, Jardin Kefas. He told reporters, "It was announced by my government, and I was told to pack up and go."
Meanwhile, the Marshall Islands reaffirmed its ties with Taiwan. Foreign Minister Kalani Kaneko stated that Taiwan is an indispensable partner in the promotion of democratic principles and pledged the Marshall Islands' diplomatic allegiance to Taiwan.
The Marshall Islands' strong support for Taiwan is at least partially because of Taiwanese investment in local Marshallese communities. The mayors of Majuro and Kwajalein took out full-page advertisements in the Marshall Islands Journal expressing support for Taiwan.
This leaves Taiwan with just 12 diplomatic partners, three of which are Pacific Island nations. In addition to the Marshall Islands, Palau and Tuvalu also maintain diplomatic relations. However, recent media reports indicate that Tuvalu could also undergo a review of its diplomatic ties to Taiwan following parliamentary elections last week.
Amid speculation, Taiwan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs released a statement on January 22nd saying that Taiwan cherishes its diplomatic ties with Tuvalu and is willing to continue to enhance relations.
And lastly, on the Taiwan elections, the Australian government also congratulated President-elect Lai on his win, to which Chinese Ambassador Xiao Qian warned that there is no room at all for compromise on this issue. Australia is one of many countries to be reprimanded by China recently. Others include the United States, Japan, Singapore, and the Philippines.
Staying on the topic of elections, let's circle back to the Marshall Islands, which held elections last year on November 2023.
We promised you that we would have an update, and here it is. Election results were declared final on December 27. 40% of the 33 seats in parliament changed hands. In a 17-16 vote, the new parliament elected Hilda Heine as president, Brenson Wassey as speaker, and Isaac Zacharias as vice speaker on January 2nd.
Heine became the first female president of the Marshall Islands in 2016. She served as president until 2020, so this cycle would mark her second term in office. She is known to be a staunch supporter of women's rights and environmental protection. Under her first term, the Marshall Islands became the first country to submit a concrete climate action plan to the United Nations before the 2020 deadline.
We would also be remiss not to talk about the storm surge and series of extreme waves that affected the Marshall Islands on January 20th, including one that hit a U.S. military base on the island of Roy Namor. The base serves as a space and missile defense test range for the United States Department of Defense.
An expert from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, said that the rising sea levels may have significantly affected the severity of the waves. While there are also other contributing factors, unfortunate events like this remind us why addressing climate change is the main priority for low-lying islands in the Pacific.
Turning over to New Zealand, the Luxon government continues to face backlash from Maori parties and communities, claiming that the government is trying to erase the Treaty of Waitangi. Maori King Tuheitia issued an extremely rare proclamation late last year calling for a meeting of the Maori tribes, or a hui, to ensure all voices are heard when holding the new coalition government to account. The hui in Tauranga Waewae-Marae, held on January 20th, surpassed expectations by drawing over 10,000 attendees.
A day before the meeting, Maori fears were further inflamed by a memo leaked from the Justice Ministry detailing proposed treaty principles legislation. Critics say the proposed bill is at odds with the text and the spirit of the Treaty of Waitangi.
Luxon did not attend the hui and sent a cabinet official instead, but he did attend a hui on January 22nd at the Ratana Church, another important annual event for the Maori. He called for calm over treaty principles legislation and stated that the government has no plans to amend or revise the treaty.
We'll keep you all posted on the touchy situation in New Zealand. Meanwhile, Papua New Guinea is emerging from a state of emergency that Prime Minister James Marape declared after riots broke out following a strike by police and other public servants. 22 people were killed in the unrest.
The strike was triggered when public servants discovered that their paychecks had been reduced by up to 50%. The government said that the cut was caused by a technical glitch that would be corrected in the next pay cycle.
Several MPs resigned from the government over the crisis and called on Marape to resign as well. They said Marape was responsible for bureaucratic negligence and lack of care for the potential for the situation to spiral out of control.
But Marape has shown no signs of resigning. Instead, he's blamed organized arsonists, assist by some rogue element of the police force. He suspended the chief of police and finance and treasury officials.
I mean, the truth is probably more complicated. Port Moresby and other urban areas are growing rapidly without adequate infrastructure, land, or jobs. This created conditions ripe for tension and unrest once police went on strike. Marape, or his successor, have some difficult challenges ahead if they want to address the root causes.
And that's it for our stories today.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Pacific Airwaves. Let us know what you think of our coverage by writing to our main email at searadio@csis.org.
And if you're not following us already, please subscribe or give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite streaming platform.
Our producer is Marla Hiller. Special thanks to our intern Josiah Gottfried for his assistance with this episode. And with that, I'm Monica Sato.
And I'm Andreka Natsaligawa.
And we'll see you next month for another episode of Pacific Airwaves.